Chapter 18. Lie in store for me, but that then, if I wanted to dispose of it, I must come up to town on purpose to transfer it, and even it would be with some difficulty I should receive the half-yearly dividend, unless I was here in person, or at some friend I could trust with having the stock in his name, to do it for me, and that would have the same difficulty in it as before. And with that he looked hard at me, and smiled a little. At last, says he, why do you not get a head steward, madam, that may take you and your money together into keeping, and then you would have the trouble taken off your hands? ? Sir, and the money too, it may be, said I, for truly I find the hazard, that weighs as much as tis t'other way. But I remember I said secretly to myself, I wish you would ask me the question fairly, I would consider very seriously on it, before I said no. ? He went on a good way with me, and I thought once or twice he was in earnest, but to my real affliction, I found at last he had a wife. But when he owned he had a wife he shook his head, and said with some concern, that indeed he had a wife, and no wife. I began to think he had been in the condition of my late lover, and that his wife had been distempered or lunatic, or some such thing. However, we had not much more discourse at that time, but he told me he was in too much hurry of business then, but that if I would come home to his house after their business was over, he would by that time consider what might be done for me, to put my affairs in a posture of security. I told him I would come, and desired to know where he lived. He gave me a direction in writing, and when he gave it me, he read it to me, and said, there 'tis, madam, if you dare trust yourself with me. ? Yes, sir, said I believe I may venture to trust you with myself, for you have a wife, you say, and I don't want a husband. Besides, I dare trust you with my money, which is all I have in the world, and if that were gone, I may trust myself anywhere. ? He said some things in jest that were very handsome and mannerly, and would have pleased me very well, if they had been in earnest. But that passed over, I took the directions, and appointed to attend him at his house at 7 o'clock the same evening. When I came he made several proposals for my placing my money in the bank, in order to my having interest for it. But still some difficulty or other came in the way, which he objected as not safe. And I found such a sincere disinterested honesty in him, that I began to muse with myself, that I had certainly found the honest man I wanted, and that I could never put myself into better hands. So I told him with a great deal of frankness, that I had never met with a man or woman, yet that I could trust, or in whom I could think myself safe, but that I saw he was so disinterestedly concerned for my safety, that I said I would freely trust him with the management of that little I had, if he would accept to be steward for a poor widow that could give him no salary. He smiled, and, standing up, with great respect saluted me. He told me he could not, but take it very kindly, that I had so good an opinion of him, that he would not deceive me, that he would do anything in his power to serve me, and expect no salary, but that he could not by any means accept of a trust, that it might bring him to be suspected of self-interest, and that if I should die he might have disputes with my executors, which he should be very loth to encumber himself with. I told him, if those were all his objections I would soon remove them, and convince him, that there was not the least room for any difficulty. For that, first, as for suspecting him, if ever I should do it, now is the time to suspect him, and not put the trust into his hands, and whenever I did suspect him, he could but throw it up then, and refuse to go any further. Then, as to executors, I assured him I had no heirs, nor any relations in England, and I should alter my condition before I died, and then his trust and trouble should cease together, which, however, I had no prospect of yet. But I told him, if I died as I was, it should be all his own, and he would deserve it by being so faithful to me as I was satisfied he would be. He changed his countenance at this discourse, and asked me how I came to have so much goodwill for him, and, looking very much pleased, said he might very lawfully wish he was a single man for my sake. I smiled, and told him as he was not, my offer could have no design upon him in it, and to wish, as he did, was not to be allowed, 'twas criminal to his wife. He told me I was wrong. For, apostrophe says he, madam, as I said before, I have a wife and no wife, and 'twould be no sin to me to wish her hanged, if that were all. Apostrophe I know nothing of your circumstances that way, sir, apostrophe said I, but it cannot be innocent to wish your wife dead. Apostrophe I tell you, apostrophe says he again, she is a wife and no wife. You don't know what I am, or what she is. Apostrophe, that's true, apostrophe said I, sir, I do not know what you are, but I believe you to be an honest man, and that's the cause of all my confidence in you. Apostrophe, well, well, apostrophe says he, and so I am, I hope to. But I am something else too, madam, for, apostrophe says he, to be plain with you, I am a cuckold, and she is a whore. Apostrophe he spoke it in a kind of jest, but it was with such an awkward smile, that I perceived it was what struck very close to him, and he looked dismally when he said it. That alters the case indeed, sir, apostrophe said I, as to that part you were speaking of, but a cuckold, you know, may be an honest man, it does not alter that case at all. Besides, I think, apostrophe said I, since your wife is so dishonest to you, you are too honest to her to own her for your wife. But that, apostrophe said I, is what I have nothing to do with. Apostrophe, nay, apostrophe says he, I do not think to clear my hands of her. For, to be plain with you, madam, apostrophe added he, I am no contented cuckold neither. On the other hand, I assure you it provokes me the highest degree, but I can't help myself. She that will be a whore, will be a whore. Apostrophe, I waived the discourse, and began to talk of my business. But I found he could not have done with it, so I let him alone, and he went on to tell me all the circumstances of his case, too long to relate here. Particularly, that having been out of England some time, before he came to the post he was in, she had had two children in the meantime by an officer of the army, and that when he came to England, and, upon her submission, took her again, and maintained her very well, yet she ran away from him with a linen draper's apprentice, robbed him of what she could come at, and continued to live from him still. So that, madam, apostrophe says he, she is a whore not by necessity, which is the common bait of your sex, but by inclination, and for the sake of the vice. Apostrophe, well, I pitied him, and wished him well rid of her, and still would have talked of my business, but it would not do. At last he looked steadily at me. Look you, madam, apostrophe says he, you came to ask advice of me, and I will serve you as faithfully as if you were my own sister, but I must turn the tables, since you oblige me to do it, and are so friendly to me, and I think I must ask advice of you. Tell me, what must a poor abused fellow do with a whore? What can I do myself justice upon her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, alas! Sir, apostrophe says I, 'tis a case too nice for me to advise in, but it seems she has run away from you, so you are rid of her fairly, what can you desire more? Apostrophe, apostrophe, a, she is gone indeed, apostrophe said he, but I am not clear of her for all that. Apostrophe, that's true, apostrophe says I, she may indeed, run you into debt, but the law has furnished you with methods to prevent that also. You may cry her down, as they call it. Apostrophe, no, no, apostrophe says he, that is not the case neither, I have taken care of all that, 'tis not that part, that I speak of, but I would be rid of her, so that I might marry again. Apostrophe, well, sir, apostrophe says I, then you must divorce her. If you can prove what you say, you may certainly get that done, and then, I suppose, you are free. Apostrophe, that's very tedious and expensive, apostrophe says he. Why, apostrophe says I, if you can get any woman you like to take your word, I suppose your wife would not dispute the liberty with you, that she takes herself. apostrophe A, apostrophe says he, but 'twon't be hard to bring an honest woman to do that. And for the other sort, apostrophe says he, I have had enough of her to meddle with any more whores. Apostrophe, it occurred to me presently, I would have taken your word with all my heart, if you had but asked me the question. But that was to myself. To him I replied, why, you shut the door against any honest woman accepting you, for you condemn all that should venture upon you at once, and conclude, that really a woman, that takes you now can't be honest. Apostrophe, why, apostrophe says he, I wish you would satisfy me, that an honest woman would take me, I'd venture it, and then turns short upon me, will you take me, madam? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that's not a fair question, apostrophe says I, after what you have said. However, lest you should think I wait only for a recantation of it, I shall answer you plainly, no, not I. My business is of another kind with you, and I did not expect you would have turned my serious application to you, in my own distracted case, into a comedy. Apostrophe, why, madam, apostrophe says he, my case is as distracted as yours can be, and I stand in as much need of advice as you do, for I think, if I have not relief somewhere, I shall be made myself, and I know not what course to take, I protest to you. Apostrophe, why, sir, apostrophe says I, 'tis easy to give advice in your case, much easier than it is in mine. Apostrophe, speak then, apostrophe says he, I beg of you, for now you encourage me. Apostrophe, why, apostrophe says I, if your case is so plain as you say it is, you may be legally divorced, and then you may find honest women enough to ask the question of fairly. The sex is not so scarce that you can want a wife. Apostrophe, well then, apostrophe said he, I am in earnest, I'll take your advice. But shall I ask you one question seriously beforehand? Apostrophe, apostrophe, any question, apostrophe said I, but that you did before. Apostrophe, no, that answer will not do, apostrophe said he, for, in short, that is the question I shall ask. Apostrophe, you may ask what questions you please, but you have my answer to that already, apostrophe said one. Besides, sir, apostrophe said I, can you think so ill of me as that I would give any answer to such a question beforehand? Can any woman alive believe you in earnest, or think you design anything but to banter her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, well, apostrophe says he, I do not banter you, I am in earnest, consider of it. Apostrophe, but, sir, apostrophe says I, a little gravely, I came to you about my own business. I beg of you to let me know what you will advise me to do. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I will be prepared. Apostrophe says he, against you come again. Apostrophe, nay, apostrophe says I, you have forbid my coming any more. Apostrophe, why so? Apostrophe, apostrophe said he, and looked a little surprised. Because, apostrophe said I, you can't expect I should visit you on the account you talk of. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe says he, you shall promise me to come again, however, and I will not say any more of it till I have gotten the divorce, but I desire you will prepare to be better conditioned when that's done, for you shall be a woman, or I will not be divorced at all. Why, I owe it to your unlooked-for kindness, if it were to nothing else, but I have other reasons to. Apostrophe, he could not have said anything in the world that pleased me better. However, I knew that the way to secure him was to stand off while the thing was so remote, as it appeared to be, and that it was time enough to accept of it when he was able to perform it. So I said very respectfully to him, it was time enough to consider of these things, when he was in a condition to talk of them. In the meantime, I told him, I was going a great way from him, and he would find objects enough to please him better. We broke off here for the present, and he made me promise him to come again the next day, for his resolutions upon my own business, which after some pressing I did. Though had he seen farther into me, I wanted no pressing on that account. I came the next evening, accordingly, and brought my maid with me, to let him see that I kept a maid, but I sent her away as soon as I was gone in. He would have had me let the maid have stayed, but I would not, but ordered her aloud to come for me again about 9 o'clock. But he forbade that, and told me he would see me safe home, which, by the way, I was not very well pleased with, supposing he might do that to know where I lived, and inquire into my character and circumstances. However, I ventured that, for all that the people there or thereabout knew of me, was to my advantage, and all the character he had of me, after he had inquired, was that I was a woman of fortune, and that I was a very modest, sober body, which, whether true or not in the main, yet you may see how necessary it is for all women who expect anything in the world, to preserve the character of their virtue, even when perhaps they may have sacrificed the thing itself. I found, and was not a little pleased with it, that he had provided a supper for me. I found also he lived very handsomely, and had a house very handsomely furnished, all of which I was rejoiced at indeed, for I looked upon it as all my own. We had now a second conference upon the subject matter of the last conference. He laid his business very home indeed. He protested his affection to me, and indeed I had no room to doubt it. He declared that it began from the first moment I talked with him, and long before I had mentioned leaving my effects with him. "'Tis no matter when it began, apostrophe thought I, if it will but hold, 'twill be well enough. Apostrophe he then told me, how much the offer I had made of trusting him with my effects, and leaving them to him, had engaged him. So I intended it should, apostrophe thought I, but then I thought you had been a single man too. Apostrophe after we had supped, I observed he pressed me very hard to drink 2 or 3 glasses of wine, which, however, I declined, but drank 1 glass or 2. He then told me he had a proposal to make to me, which I should promise him I would not take ill, if I should not grant it. I told him I hoped he would make no dishonorable proposal to me, especially in his own house, and that if it was such, I desired he would not propose it, that I might not be obliged to offer any resentment to him that did not become the respect I professed for him, and the trust I had placed in him in coming to his house, and begged of him, he would give me leave to go away, and accordingly began to put on my gloves, and prepare to be gone, though at the same time I no more intended it than he intended to let me. Well, he importuned me not to talk of going, he assured me he had no dishonorable thing in his thoughts about me, and was very far from offering anything to me that was dishonorable, and if I thought so, he would choose to say no more of it. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.